Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. God is amazing. God is awesome. He is a God who is to be reverenced, who is to be exalted on high. The God that sits up high, looks down low, who has all things in his hand. He is everywhere at one time. He sees all. He knows all. This is the God that we as believers in Christ Jesus are to worship. We are to adore him, and we are to exalt him on high. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, for being a faithful listener, but most of all, for being faithful to God, being faithful to his love for you, being faithful to what he has done for you, and being faithful to lifting him up in praise and song and the instruments and the hand claps of praise, just being faithful to everything he will do, has done for you. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for being who you are. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come hungry for this teaching track that I have, that God has placed on my heart to do. And I want to ask you a question, asking you a question concerning yourself. Now, we're going to look at 3 points, as always. But before I start this particular teaching track, I want to lift up a praise prayer. And just bow with me in prayer, brothers and sisters, if you will, as we touch and agree. And let's go to the throne of grace. Lord God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, let thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. On this day, as any other day, let thy will be done. Lord, you have given us this day to exemplify you, to glorify you, but most of all, to submit to the Holy Spirit that lives within inside us. Lord, I pray for those who may not know you in the pardoning of your sin, that you would continue to allow their ears to hear your still, small voice as you tug and pull on their heart, that they would submit to your call, that they would surrender to you and turn their heart over to you, that you will live inside them, that they would be hungry like a slave to the answer or call of your voice. Lord, allow this word, this message today to resonate in the hearts of the hearers that hear the richness of your word, that it would saturate them, that it would purify them, that it would wash over them, that they will come hungry like a slave needing a master. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying with me, and I pray for those of you who may not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I extend Jesus Christ to you through this prayer, that you would bow down and worship him and allow him to lead you and guide you. But you surrender your heart to him. that he would be your master, that he would be your guide, that he would order every one of your footsteps through his word, is our prayer. So get your Bible ready to look at some sweet nuggets. But before I start, I have a question for you. This is the question. The question is, who do you say you are? Think about that. Who do you say you are? Now, I had to ask myself that question, and I wanted to share with you the same question. Who do you say you are? And, of course, make note of the verses and make note of the 3 points concerning this particular teaching track or teaching series. Who do you say you are? Now, this is point one. Point one is hungry for work. So make note of that. And this is what we're going to focus in on today is the first point, hungry for work. Point two, make note of this, crave worship. Crave worship. And point three, be a full witness. Point one, hungry for work. Point two, crave worship. And point three, be a full witness. So now the question is, who do you say you are? Listen to what Paul calls himself according to Romans 1:1. And make that note also, Romans 1:1. The Apostle Paul said he was a bond servant of Christ Jesus, according to the New King James translation, a slave of Christ Jesus, according to the New Living translation, and a servant of Christ Jesus, according to the King James translation or the NIV translation, the New International Version. And all of this is according to Romans 1:1. Now, keep in mind, the question is, who do you say you are? But Paul said, the Apostle Paul said he was a bondservant of Christ. He was a slave of Christ, a servant of Christ. Now, the question, who do you say you are, is for you to determine who do you say you are. Focusing on the mindset of a slave, I'm going to look at the characteristics of a slave. Now, a slave, they are hungry. They crave, and a slave also desires to be full. Is this you? As a slave, according to Paul, do you hunger? Do you crave? And as a slave, do you desire to be full? Now, I'm focusing on myself because this is the question that I asked myself. Who do I say I am? And when we look at it from a slave's mindset, because of what Paul called himself, he called himself a slave of Christ Jesus. When we look at it from that perspective, a slave comes hungry, thirsty. They come with craving in the stomach. They come for or with the desires of being full. And all of these things that they hunger for, they crave, or they desire to be full of, it doesn't matter what the tangible is. What matters is who supplies what they hunger, what they crave, or what they desire to be full of. Who supplies a slave? Let's look at this in Colossians 3, 22 and 24. But before we go there, I want to continue. So if you would make note of that particular book, Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 22 through 24. But that's going to run alongside the first point, hungry for work. But I want to look at Mark before we go to Colossians. Let's go to Mark chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 27. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. So if you would follow or walk with me to the book of Mark. And chapter 8, and I'm going to read this in the NIV translation or the New International. And as I've always indicated in my teaching, I encourage you to have several translations or invest in a Bible that has two, three, or four even translations to where you can have them running parallel to one another and just how they read, and it helps you get a deeper understanding of what the particular passage is teaching you and what the Holy Spirit wants you to know as you read through these verses. So we're going to start at verse 27 in chapter 8 of Mark. And it reads this way: Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, this is Jesus, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." Verse 29, "But what about you?" He asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Verse 31, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But then Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And we're going to stop right there. Now, this particular passage pops out a couple of things to me, and I hope that as you read through these passages with me or these verses with me, that some things may have been revealed to you too. Now, who do you say you are is the question, and Jesus asked his disciples the question in verse 27 and 28, and they replied according to what they've heard people say about him. Some said he was John the Baptist, others said Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. Some of the religious leaders called him master teacher. Some called him Messiah. But Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And then, of course, as he told the disciples what will happen to him, according to his death and him being resurrected, they did not understand in the type of mindset that they were to have. But that's why Jesus is who he is, the Christ. But as disciples, they were under him to learn the very things that he wanted them to learn. So he wanted to know how or who or what did they call him? Who did they call him? And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." So now, if Jesus wants to know what or who they called him, who do they say I am? Jesus wants us to know who we are in Christ. He doesn't want us to guess, second guess. He doesn't want us to stumble. God wants us to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul said he was a bondservant of Christ Jesus. He was a slave of Christ. He was a servant of Christ, and even referred to himself as a prisoner of Christ in Philemon 1:1, a prisoner of Christ. Now, we know that when you have been placed in prison, you become a slave in prison. But looking at what Paul called himself, referred to himself as a slave of Christ, and Peter said, "You are the Christ," and God wants us as his children, as believers, as Christ followers, as Christians, to understand that we are slaves of Christ Jesus. Now, let's flip over to Luke 9, and let's look at this even further. Focusing on who do you say you are? Now, we understand the Apostle Paul. He was sold out for Christ Jesus. Luke 9, verse 20. That's the next chapter. Luke, the next book in the New Testament after Mark. We're going to Luke 9, and it reads, verse 20. And follow along with me. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Now, this is out of the Gospel of Luke. Same question. And let's back up to verse 18. "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.'" Now, Jesus asked, "Who do others say that I am. And this is what Luke penned in the Gospel, chapter 9. He says, "Who do the crowds say? Who do others say?" Jesus asked. And then he's more specific as he says in verse 20, but what about you? He asks, who do you say I am? And that's when Peter replied, the Christ of God. And this is what God wants us to come to understand. Do you say that you are someone other than? Do you put that first? Is that your first title? I am the president of my elementary school. I am a manager of a well-known company. I am a violinist in a well-known orchestra. Or do you say, as a believer in Christ Jesus, I am a child of the Most High God. I am a child of God. I am a Christ follower. I am a child who follows Jesus. I am sold out for Jesus Christ. Will others say that about me? Would they say about you that you are sold out for Christ Jesus? That you speak about Jesus all day, every day? Are you able to let others know without being afraid, without being intimidated, without being a little reluctant to let people know that you are a slave to Christ Jesus, that you are sold out for Christ, that he is the center of your life? Can you honestly say that about yourself, not only to yourself, but to others? Can they see that about you? Paul, who was called by Christ an apostle, he said that he was a bondservant. He said that he was a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He said that he was a slave, a servant of Christ Jesus. Now, who do you say you are? And sometimes we let our titles go before us because that gets more recognition from others. But what should go before us is our heart, that others would see you to be different than most. So keep in mind, we were looking at this from a slave's perspective, but I wanted you to see how the Lord was asking in the book of Luke, in the text, chapter 9 of Luke, and we started at verse 18. He was asking about the crowds. Who do they say that I am? And then Jesus asked them specifically, them being the disciples, who do you say I am? And this is a very important question, a very important question. So now let's go to Matthew 16. Now we've looked at Mark 8, verses 27 through 33, and we've looked at Luke chapter 9, verse 20. Now let's move over to Matthew. Matthew 16. And we're going to read verse 15. 16:15. And again, we're going to back up to 13 and read. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And we'll stop right there. This just helps us understand the depth of how we are to be known as God the Father, Jesus the Messiah, the Son, the Savior, our salvation, the body of Christ. We are a slave, a bondservant. We are servants of Christ. Now, keep in mind, not taking it or looking at it from the tone of a slave who has nothing, but we hunger for work. That is point one. But I wanted us to see how a slave, they are hungry, they crave. A slave desires to be full from a natural perspective, but we're going to look at this from a spiritual perspective. Who do you say you are? And it took some time for me to really allow this to saturate my soul. And it helped me better understand, the Holy Spirit helped me better understand why I am a Christ follower. So, again, hungry, crave, and desires to be full. So let's look at Colossians 3:22. Our first point in this particular teaching series, who do you say you are? Point one is hungry for work. Point two is crave worship. And point three is be a full witness. So I hope that you make note of these points, but we're going to focus on the first point, hungry for work. What does God want from his children? What does he want from us? As a child of God, as a believer in Christ Jesus, he wants us to be hungry for work. Now, keep in mind, these types of characteristics as a child of God is in the midst of being a saved individual. We have confessed that Jesus is our Lord. We have accepted him through faith, saved by grace, and we believe we've been baptized by way of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, and now we are ready to grow. We are ready to grow in the grace of God. This is where we are in this particular teaching series. So if you're a babe in Christ, hang with me. Continue to listen to the broadcast that you would begin to start growing and coming to an understanding that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to. But for those who do not know Christ Jesus, and they may be listening to this broadcast because someone told them to listen to it, you would not understand fully what you need to know because you have not accepted Jesus as the Christ, that you would be saved so that you will have a relationship that requires growth. But the more that you come ready, willing, and able to the throne of grace, receiving every word according to the Bible, then you will grow and you will become thirsty and hungry for the Word of God. And you will yield or hear the Holy Spirit move or allow you to listen to God's voice. This takes practice, but you got to be hungry. Most of the brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray that's not you, but for the weaker ones, they are lazy. They are lazy. They don't want to work. They want to work from home, if you will, in the comfort of their couch or not have to do anything hard. They want the easy way. But God never promised us an easy way. We will have struggles. We will have mountain highs. We will have valley lows. We will come through some storms in our life. But guess what, brothers and sisters? It's very well worth it. It's worth it to go through the storm. Why? Because God promised us the way out of the storm. And there's only one way, and that way is through endurance. Endure the storm. Weather the storm. He will give us his strength to endure the storm, that we will get through the valley. So we've got to be hungry for work. And listen to what it says in Colossians. So if you would move over to Colossians, and it's going to be Colossians 3. Colossians 3, and we're going to start with verse 22. And it reads, slaves. Now, this particular passage is in the context of instruction, giving us instructions, believers, Christians, how we should live, how we should obey, how we should submit. And if you look at verse 18, wives are to submit themselves to their husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Verse 18, and I just want to read this for the benefit of the context of this particular, these particular verses. And husbands are to love their wives and do not be harsh with them. Even instruction to the children. Children, obey your parents in everything. Everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Now listen to what it says to the slave in verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. As a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Amen. This should be the mindset of every believer in Christ Jesus. If we say that we are, remember the question is, who do you say you are? So if we say that we are a woman of God, a man of God, a child of light, a follower of Christ Jesus, a child of the Most High God, that I am sold out for Christ, I am a slave of Christ Jesus. If we call ourselves that, then we should hunger for work. We should hunger for work. According to Colossians, and this is instruction to us, although it's addressing the wife, it's addressing the husband, it's addressing the children, it's even addressing the slave. During this time, we are to still take on these principles in our life. Obey our earthly master. Now, as children of light, our earthly master are those who are in authority over us, such as the law. And let me just keep it simple. The police officers. We obey what the IRS tells us to do, pay our taxes. We obey the laws of the land that have been put in place. When we're on our job, we are to obey the rules and regulations that come with that particular job. And when we are out and about, our children are to obey the rules of their school or their college, wherever they may be. And even as friends, we are to respect one another. Just keeping things in simple perspective. And so when we are to obey our earthly master in everything and do it not only when their eye is on us. Now, I have been, and I'm just being honest, I'm guilty of that. Performing or doing something on my job to where I can be seen. But once I became more familiar with what God wants me to do, he says, not to do it as unto man, but work as unto the Lord, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So I started developing and growing and coming to an understanding that my master is not man on earth. My master is God the Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That is who our master is, with a sincerity of heart and reverence. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Not half-hearted, not lazy, not from the living room, with a whole heart, with all diligence, with tenacity, with endurance, with zeal, ready, willing, and able, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance. Not you might, but you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. What's our inheritance as believers in Christ Jesus? our inheritance is eternal life. Jesus making a or preparing a place in his Father's house that has many mansions, not made by hands of man. What is our reward? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Faithful of what? Faithful of working in the vineyard. A vineyard worker. Faithful in doing the work of God. Our inheritance is eternal, not earthly. Our reward is eternal, not earthly. It is the Lord God you are serving. As I indicated, we as children of Jesus Christ can be lackadaisical in our mindset. And these are some questions that we, some statements that we make. We as believers have made statements like this. What is my purpose? That's one statement. What is my purpose? Another statement is, I want to be used by God. We say that from time to time or frequently. I want to be used by God. Now, as a believer in Christ Jesus, we are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teach the word of God, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are called to go. Another statement that is made by believers in Christ Jesus is, God gave me a ministry. Yes, he gave us all a command to go. To go and preach the gospel. Whatever your spiritual gift is, just go into the vineyard and work according to Luke 10:2. Go. According to Matthew, go. So this is another statement that is made amongst believers in Christ Jesus. And God is taking me higher. God is taking me higher. God takes us where he wants us to go as long as we are willing. He doesn't force us. He doesn't push us. He gave us a mind to think, a will to choose, and our emotions or our feelings. That's what makes up the human soul. The three parts that make up a human soul is our mind to think, our will to choose, and our feelings or our emotions. Now, the human soul, of course, has been born in sin. When we go to work, the soul starts taking on a transformation. When we apply the word of God, then our soul starts submitting to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. When we, as believers in Christ Jesus, come hungry to the table of God, then we start walking upright and not bent over or with a laziness of heart. We come with a whole heart according to Scripture. We want to be workers in the vineyard. So let's look at Luke chapter 10 and let's look at verses 1 through 3. Luke 10. I hope that this is making sense to you as far as the hunger of a slave. A slave is hungry. A slave craves, a slave desires to be full. But that's in the natural mindset. But in the spiritual perspective, we come hungry as a slave, according to Paul, as a slave of Christ Jesus. Luke 10, 1 through 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." That's you and me. The workers are few. The harvest is plenty. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now look at verse 3. Now we are to pray to the Lord, who is over the harvest, to pray for the workers, the lazy ones. Now I pray I'm not, if that's not you, but for those who may not be moving out, verse 3 says, go. And in the NIV translation, it has an exclamation point. Go. Just go now, in some translations. Go your way. Go, go now, go your way. And I'll read. And it says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. That lets us know it's not going to be easy. But the willingness of heart, he says, go. Go your way. Whatever your spiritual gift, whether it be praying, whether it be singing, whether it be the gift of administration, whether it be the teaching and preaching, just do something in the vineyard. No matter how small, no matter how big it is, just go. You have a purpose. Your purpose is to go. You have a ministry. Your ministry is to go. You are going to be going higher in the glory of God when you go. And God is using you because now you're one of his. And he's using you for his purpose. But he wants you to go. Hunger for work. What does God want from his children? He wants us to be hungry for work, like a slave. He wants us to be vineyard workers, according to Luke 10, 1 through 3. Let's look at it at Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 37. Matthew 9, 37. Let's start at 35. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. This is what we are to have when we see the lost, when we see the hurting, when we see people who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. We are to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to them with compassion in our heart. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That was once us. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Again, ask the Lord to use you. Surrender to him yourself. You are his earthen vessel, who's hungry, who's thirsty. So we pray for ourselves that God will use us for his benefit. But he doesn't make us, he doesn't push us, he doesn't hem us up on every side. No, he's a loving God, tender God, a gracious God, a faithful God, a holy God. And we will look at that as point one, crave worship. Point two, crave worship. But hungry for work, he wants us to come out of the living room. And he wants us to get into the vineyard and pray for the workers, that we would not have a mindset of laziness, easy street. No. This is hard, but it's worth it. Because of what God can get out of us, the fruit that needs to be bared, and that he gets all of the glory, that he would be exalted on high, that he would be bowed down to and worshiped. He gave us a model, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's exalting the Lord God, reverencing him in adoration. Okay, so now that we know that he's called us to go, he's told us to pray for the laborers, and he's now wanting us to bear some fruit. Bear some fruit. So now let's look at John 10. So if you would go to the book of John, over to chapter 15, and we're going to read this starting in verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Well, let's take it to verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, or in some translations, and my Father, in the King James or the New King James, my Father is the vine dresser, or my Father is the husbandman. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. This is what he wants, God wants from his children, to be fruit bearers, hungry for work, vineyard workers, and fruit bearers with a high work ethic. Come early, stay late. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That means you're already saved. You're clean. Salvation, the Holy Spirit lives inside. So now it's time to get to work. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will, not he might, or he could, or he should. No, he will bear much fruit, not a little bit, not a tiny, tiny bit, but much fruit is what God wants from his children. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Promises of God. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Now, this is what I just indicated, that God wants from us to be fruit bearers of much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen. Now, the question to this teaching series was, who do you say you are? Who do you say you are? According to Scripture, in John 15, verse 8, this is to my Father's glory. Whatever we do in the vineyard, it's that God gets the glory. According to what he says, he just tells us to go. Go now. Go your way. Utilize every spiritual gift that you have been born with, divinely given. And what you don't know yet, just go to work. And you will discover what God has given you. That you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. Now, a disciple is to sit up under God, be called his child, and know that your inheritance, your reward is waiting for you. This is the promise of a God who sits high and looks low. And we will look at how a slave craves on point 2. Your work ethic in the vineyard should be high, eager, ready, willing, and able. Coming early, staying late is the mindset. An attitude of gratitude, an attitude of willingness, an attitude of expectation from God. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. But even if you work and don't want anything from him at all, because you are a believer in Christ Jesus, because you are saved by his grace, and you believe by faith that Jesus died on that cross, his blood ran down his veins and covered your sin, he was the redeemer of our soul. He was buried on the third day, and he rose, resurrected. He conquered the grave. He took the sting out of death. Jesus, the Christ. Now the question is again, Who do you say you are? This brings us to the end of the broadcast. In this particular teaching series, Who Do You Say You Are? It's my prayer that these rich nuggets have deepened your understanding concerning yourself, concerning who you have living inside you. And for those of you who do not know Him in the pardoning of your sin, I pray right now, again, that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you will receive the inheritance, the reward that He has for you. And brothers and sisters, pray for those who are lost that you know need a Savior, that they will confess with their lips that they are sold out for Christ Jesus. Encourage them to get into a Bible-believing church. It may be your own very church. That they will be baptized by submersion of water, that they would come up a new creation. That the old things have been passed away, and we fall forward to the brand new. Always remember that the grass withers, it gets old and it withers away, and the flowers, they fade away too. But the very word of God that we stand on, sure-footed, unshakable, unmovable, the very word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. I pray that you will tune in again to this broadcast on next Thursday as we meet, and we will look at this teaching track in part 2, Crave Worship. God bless you.